Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendez. I hope you guys are well on your Sunday morning. On this week's show, then, we'll be looking back at yesterday's FA Cup second round defeat over at League 2 Gillingham. Joining me to look back at that thrilling encounter, first up, top right, is Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Not bad, mate. I'm all thawed out from yesterday.
Yeah, that was a bit of a chilly one. Nathan very kindly joined me on the comms yesterday, and well, we had a great time, and we hope to relive that game over and over again. Joining us at the bottom of the screen, another man who was there, and who was sat in the home end as well, Joe Puddyfoot. Joe, were you handed to the police at any point?
I wasn't handed to the police, but I wish I had been, to be honest. It would have been a much better way of spending the afternoon, I think.
Yeah, that was a painful experience as we made the short jaunt down into Medway yesterday. 2-0 defeat at the hands of Gillingham. Of course, Macaulay Bond scored and let us know about it as well, didn't he, with his celebration afterwards. So on today's show, we'll hear the goals shortly. We'll hear, of course, the reaction from Michael Appleton. We want to hear from you guys as well. Get involved with the show. Let us know what you made of yesterday's performance. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or if you're watching on the YouTube, stick a comment in. Let us know what you made of yesterday's game. A few people are already in there already. Morning to Sid, who was the first one to join us this morning. Jay's in there, Paul, James, Rufus, All Hell Let Loose, Chris, Dudley, Lawrence as well. So yeah, let us know what you made of yesterday's game. Later on in the show as well, we've got a guest fan. Ken Burnett is going to join us. He was there yesterday as well. He's going to tell us about his experience of Gillingham away, which is always an interesting one. But yeah, before we hear the goals, Nath, you were pretty succinct on commentary yesterday, and it was quite clear from, I'd say, the opening 5 minutes that we weren't going to be at the races yesterday, and that's how it continued in that vein for pretty much the whole 90.
Yeah, buzzing to hear the highlights. I don't know what highlights were, but yeah. Exactly that. We were saying on comms the first sort of 10, 15 minutes. I mean, I'm picking on Tayo here, but he was just, he was either undercooking it or overplaying it, and he would just getting caught, and it was like, right, okay, so Gillingham was sensing something here. And throughout the game, they just wanted it more than we did, in my opinion. They were more aggressive with and without the ball. Lapsley was doing a sort of, a similar role to like Conor Gallagher plays at Chelsea, is quite advanced and was sitting on Dobbo. And then as soon as our centre-halves had it, we didn't really know what to do when Dobbo was sort of marked. I've said this a couple of times this season, apart from that little clip over the full-back shoulder, hoping they miss it and then Corey goes on a 1v1, which I think happened once. But yeah, it's just a bit of a disappointing day, mate, to be honest. We was like half-heartedly pressing or just way off it. And then they were just slicing through us every time and looked like they were going to score every time they came forward. But we just looked a little one-paced, lightweight, and just the amount of unforced errors in that game. I can't remember how many there were, but there was absolutely loads from my memory anyway.
Yeah, it really was a lackluster performance. Let's have a listen to the goals quickly then from Charlton TV. The commentators, as always, were Terry Smith and Greg Stubley.
Lays it off for Williams. Dress forward, looks for the run of Clark, and it's a decent run. Clark sprung the offside trap. Maynard Brewer's come out. Clark looks across to Macaulay Bond, whose shot deflects and goes in. And Macaulay Bond, against his former side, gets the goal.
He just knew it, didn't he? I mean, he didn't need to clean it. He took a deflection. And in off the post.
Well, Well, like Sam Lavelle a couple of weeks ago, Gillam had three to choose from to score against the former side. Towards Bond, headed away by Jones. Pulls down. Jones is there again, competing against Bond. Gillam's midfield's been busy and won the ball back as Lapsley skips beyond Ness and finds Dieng in the penalty area. Gillam have a second. It's great work from Lapsley and Dieng running through. Gives the host a second.
Yeah, I'm afraid that one's just down to poor defending from through the midfield. Just didn't battle enough. Jones won the original header, then had to win it on the floor. Gillingham were just first to the ball on the floor. The combination of Charlton bodies just allowed Dieng to run through the middle.
There we go. That's the goals then from yesterday's 2-0 defeat at Gillingham. I mean, Joe, you were there then, as we said, sat in the home end. So you were obviously on your feet when Bond scored with your shirt off around your head to make it look like you were a Gillingham fan. You didn't want to get caught out. And I guess a look of shock on your face as well, because he did manage to score an open goal. But, yeah, give us your overall summary on yesterday's performance or lack thereof.
Standing up and clapping Bond's goal yesterday is probably the lowest point of my life so far. As much as I don't want to live it, the one crumb of comfort I've taken is that he celebrated like an absolute goon. For a goal that he nearly screwed up with an open goal. He still, with an open goal, managed to find the defender and it nearly squirmed wide. But yeah, it was shocking. And as Nave said, they were just more up for it physically than us all game. And the only crumb of comfort that I suppose you can take from Bond's first goal is that he had about four or five other glaring opportunities and returned to his normal form. One of which I think just outside the box, one-on-one with the keeper, and it went outside the penalty area. From the moment that ball was chipped in behind our defence and they scored that goal, that was it. Game was over. And then the second coming along quickly after, we just looked all at sea and we didn't want to be there, did we? And to be fair, if the players could have left as early as some of the fans did in the away end, I think they would have done as well, because there was no point in them being there anymore.
I mean, where do we start on actually analysing the game? I mean, Chris is obviously in the chat saying his abject performance, embarrassing. You know, I think abject was the word I used at half-time, wasn't it, in our updates on Radio London. Dudley saying it was awful yesterday. Looks like we're ending this year as we did last year, not looking like we could beat anyone right now. Desperate for huge investment right now. I mean, five changes were made yesterday, obviously a couple of them forced. We know about Miles Leeburn's injury that's going to keep him out for, you know, potentially the rest of the season, but certainly up to 5 months, Michael Appleton is saying. Conor McGrandles has picked up a calf problem, so a couple of them were enforced, although I think McGrandles was coming out anyway for Louis Watson. But scrape below the surface of our squad, Nathan, and I've said this after the Cray Valley Paper Mills first game, you know, I've said this when we lose strikers or whatever to injury, and we've also... there's been positions in our team that we've wanted to change, like defence, probably we need an upgrade, but we see what's in reserve and you're like, that's why Michael hasn't actually made a change to the back four, because there ain't no better on the bench at the moment.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I, to be fair, in my opinion, even with that team that we put out, I still think it's capable of beating Gillingham. I mean, let's have it right. We didn't play Man City yesterday, and that's not being salty because Gillingham thoroughly deserved their win and probably should have won by more, if I'm being honest. So they're deservedly in the next round. But yeah, exactly that. You're looking at it, and when you have a defeat like that, the one thing you probably want to do is try and shake it up. But you look, if he looks behind him, you're looking at a couple of kids on there to replace a couple of kids. So you're not really gaining anything. I feel, after the match, when I was with him watching the press conference, in a weird way I felt for him a bit, because it's like, well, what can he do until January? So we've got a busy period coming up, and he's not going to be able to change much. You know, you've got Chem Campbell and Charlie Kirk, which seemed like they're not flavour of the month with the fans, and well, Kirk especially, and then but they're not getting any game time. So are they going to come in, or I just don't really know. It was an opportunity, we said before the game, it was an opportunity for the likes of Ness and Tedic especially to step up to the plate and go, right, I'm going to make a claim now. And I can't even pick out one good performance, really. And I think that was a disappointing thing. It was a chance where we could sort of take the shackles off, take the game to Gillingham, have a go. And we had one shot on target, mate. So I don't think anyone's going to be knocking on his door going, why ain't I playing? Do you know what I mean? So it was a difficult one.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. So who should we look at first? Maybe Lucas Ness, obviously, one of the players who came into the side yesterday. Joe, what did you say when you saw his performance yesterday?
Right. Yeah, I mean, a couple of howlers from him. One right at the end where he tapped the ball straight through to their striker to go through one-on-one. So not enough from him. Jones carried that defence. I thought he was the only player that actually came out yesterday with any real credit. He won everything in the air. All the Gillingham fans around me were going apoplectic about the fact that their players could only cross the ball to Jones, but it's just because he manages to find a way to get to every single ball. But Ness, I'm a big fan of his. I think there's potential there. I think I do have a little bit of sympathy. I think it's quite hard sometimes as a central defender to come in and out of games, especially when he's coming into games that generally we're playing pretty poorly in. But he's not the Ness of last season so far. And he can't really say that he deserves a spot in the side. But then you could argue that about the centre-backs that start most weeks as well for some of the howlers they've had. So it's a tough one for him.
Yeah, I mean, the battle in the midfield was clearly lost as well, Nath. And again, it was a change with Louis Watson coming in, a player that a lot of fans have enjoyed watching recently. But he didn't really seem to have a hold in it. You know, I think Dobson was getting overrun. I thought to give him his due, I thought Lapo was excellent yesterday for Gilles. But that's no excuse. You know, we're playing a League Two side. And because of those turnovers and those mistakes we made, obviously the first goal came from, you know, Ashley going walkabout. The second goal came from Charlton just completely giving up possession in the middle of their own half. And, I mean, it was a slick pass from Lapo into the path of Dieng and a fine finish. But I mean, they're just the little moments where you're in a cup tie and you're not battling away, and that's why you get beat in games like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was just Michael touched on it in the post-match. It's, when you lose a game, obviously no one likes losing, but it's how you lose it. And I think after that first half, I was thinking, well, maybe bring Fraser on and trying to get a bit of experience there and to try and keep the ball a bit more, try and control the game a little bit more and fashion some chances. And obviously that didn't work. But yeah, I mean, the second half, I was just expecting them to come out with a bit more substance, you know, have a pair of gonads on them. Do you know what I mean? And just have a go. But, you know, it's all well and good having a great touch, great passing range, having a bit of pace. But unless you win your individual battles, which we didn't do yesterday at all in that middle, you're never going to win a game of football. And they'd done the basics right. They wanted it more. They chased and harried and was determined in their performance. And then they just ran all over us, really, which was the disappointing thing. So, Louis Watson, rather, came in. And that'll be interesting in the middle of the park. Louis Watson, obviously, he got his start, which I think on his day he's a very good player. But, yeah, it was a quiet day for him. But I just don't think, and as Joe said, Jones was really the only person who came out of any credit. So, but you should be beating teams like this if we're on our game, and we're way, way off it.
Yeah, I have heard we're in for Louis Walsh in January, actually. We should get him on the pod. He's a geezer off like Pop Stars and what is it? Like Britain's Got Talent, who slags off performances. He'd be great on the show because there's plenty to talk about at the moment. I mentioned that the first goal there, where was Ashley going, Joe? Decision-making recently, you know, he makes some wonderful saves, and then decision making at Portsmouth and obviously yesterday's cost him and cost us a goal in both of those games now.
Yeah, he still is quite young, I'd say, for a keeper in terms of the actual number of games that he's played, so he's still got a lot of learning to do. But that was a bit of a shocker. But then even then, the scramble defence around him also didn't particularly help. Everyone sort of just ran randomly into random positions. No one picked up men. No one thought, oh, hang on, we're in trouble here. Let's at least take the people who could score out of the game. Well, to be fair, they only left Bon on Mark. So, but yeah, he's. I think as a keeper, it is an area where we maybe need to look. Again, I was a big fan of his last season. I thought he'd done very, very well. But he's got to either cut the mistakes out or we've got to get someone in, because we are conceding just far too many goals as a side again this season. And that, I don't see how we're going to stem that particularly and between now and January.
Jay says Louis Walsh, honestly, look more like a team of Louis Spencer's. But I mean, he's quite mobile, isn't he? Like we could have done with some of his movement. Sam saying it was an awful performance yesterday, even though making five changes, it shouldn't have made such a difference. The January window is going to be massive for us, but who wants to sign with our current squad? Well, let's dive into another player that's come up in the chat. Chris says, don't mention Tedic. Any mention of his name gives me the hump. Before then asking, how is Tedic a Man City player? He was anonymous yesterday, Nath. There's no nice way of putting it, is it? Yeah, we were just mentioning that the picture that we put up during the highlights there had him sort of face to the ground after the first, or I think the second goal, and you said, oh, look at his face. And I was like, I think pulling that face was the first thing he did all game. Like, he was nowhere, and considering that he is now going to have to be the man to step up to the plate, that's a concern, you know, with Miles out and Chooks out for a while.
Yeah, I mean... He was probably one knocking on Michael's door saying, well, why not getting a go? And if you have given me a go, it's on this right-hand side. And, I mean, I call him the Serbian Stockley, but I still think he does it. I don't know what he offers. Is he a target man? Is he a deep line? He doesn't go in behind. I mean, every ball that went up to him yesterday either wasn't sticking or he's flicking it on to their goalie, you know, and it was just nothing was coming off for him. But I don't really know... what he brings, and you know, I don't really like to slate players a lot, but at the moment he has to step up to the plate unless you start Kanu. But again, he's just had a little spell at Southend in the National League, so you can't really hang your hat on Dan to come in and fire us to glory. But then at the same time, you've got to, let's have it right, he's still young, but he's still had a lot more caps, a lot more appearances than the others, Mika and Bick and Dan Kanu. So but yeah, it was a disappointing one. He was anonymous. You wouldn't really know he was on the pitch until he got subbed off, which I know got a couple of claps, but I don't know if that was sarcastic or not, but I'm pretty sure it was. But yeah, disappointing for him, because it was, like we said earlier, it was one of those games where you go, right, League Two, didn't do anything in the first Cray game. Have another go and show us that you can lead the line for this team. And it was flat to deceive in the end.
Yeah, Ace Saunders saying, I know we're unpredictable and anything could still happen, but that team surely had to be good enough to beat a seventh place League Two side if we stand any chance of doing something this season. And that's the thing that, again, when we were summing up yesterday, Nathan, and Joe, I'll let you take this one. The thing that concerns me most about every time we've been either forced into changes or in cup games made changes, which, you know, is sometimes legitimate, sometimes obviously we found out you can make too many. Is the fact that the second you scrape below the surface of that team, we are poor. You know, we have depth in numbers. We do have a lot of players in this squad, but depth in quality is a big concern. And the fact is, you know, the cup's gone now. That was a disappointment, but the league's still there, 7 points off playoffs. But now we're going to be playing games with a lot of these players who are not in the first team squad because of injuries or because of suspensions or whatever, and they've had two or three times to prove that overall they're not really that good. They're not good enough to, let alone, you know, compete in League One, but to try and overturn a 7-point gap to the top six.
Yeah, I do think there's a lack of depth in that squad. I actually would lay a little bit of potential criticism at Apple's door with some of these players, the likes of Watson, and even potentially a little bit Tedic, but Tyrese Campbell's not particularly on form at the minute and is struggling. And they're players that have been sort of dropped out of the squad when I didn't think they were doing anything particularly bad. And some of those players had played out of position ahead of them. So that's got to knock the confidence of people on the bench a little bit. So when you're then asking them to come in and play at the absolute top, are you necessarily going to get the top quality out of him? And one of the things about Appleton that we have heard from a couple of sources is maybe his man management isn't sensational. So potentially there's an element there that would maybe buy some of these players a little bit of luck. But even the starting players like Corey yesterday, he was shocking, and he's been shocking for about a month now. I know he potentially has been carrying a knock. Maybe he still is carrying that. But he just doesn't look like he's got any desire and any sort of wherewithal about him to take the game like he was at the start of the season. It almost looks like a player who's out the door in January. I hope that's not the case, but it screams that. And even when you're bringing players on from the bench, the likes of Fraser, who haven't been stalwarts in the squad this season, he doesn't come on and add any particular fight or fire either. So I think the problems is strength in depth, and you've got the likes of Kamara, who's out, who I think would add quality to that midfield. Obviously, you're missing Chucks' impact off the bench again. Lee Burn is a physical unit and can mix it much more than Tadic. You take those players out, but then you also have that mentality, I think, across the team, which we've had for a number of seasons, of players who can't put in 90-minute performances, and that's a real problem.
Yeah, there's loads of really good stuff coming in the chat, so I'm trying to get to as many of these good points that people are making. But, I mean, Alex says players clearly have some difficulty getting up for cup games, at least subconsciously. As fans, we expect them to be as motivated as they are for league games, but this is probably unrealistic. I mean, that was the thing that, I don't know, like, Gillingham is not a derby game for us. It's not. You know, again, I put this to Appleton. Like, Gilles came out and got in our faces a bit. Like I say, like, I thought Lapo was a big part of that for them. But it's Gillingham. It's Priestfield. You know, it's not. We didn't go to the Den yesterday. We didn't go to somewhere we should be fearful of for whatever reason. And we melted a little bit. And that is something that happens to us too much. I mean, Dean was saying I expect us to come out in the second half and have a right rollicking at half-time and better after in the second period. And the only thing that changed in the second period is we had a little bit more of the ball and a little bit more territory, but that's probably because of where the game was. Gilles absolutely did not have to push for a third goal because we didn't look much like scoring. Chris saying, if Kirk put in a performance like CBT and Tyrese put in yesterday, he gets pelters. With these two, we seem to ignore it. Corey looks like his head has been turned and wants out. Tupac was shocking. I mean, obviously, Nev's just spoke about Corey there. And yeah, I agree on Tyrese as well. He was well off the pace yesterday. You know, and I'm someone who rates Tyrese, but he didn't get into the game at all. I thought Eden was poor, particularly in the first 10 minutes. Andrew's saying if only Ashley and Eden could see the run of Clark for the first goal. Eden did nothing. Maynard Brewer came out, but needed to commit to saving the ball. The rest of the defence were nowhere. I mean, everyone was dragged out of position by that. Jay saying Tadic can only work with the service. He didn't get any. Snuffles saying Tadic offers nothing, but who realistically could replace him? Well, you're looking at it now with those injuries up top, and no one else is in that mould of what we think Tadic is supposed to be. You know, judging by his goal record, you assume he's a hold-up striker. He's only scored 1 in 14 for us, only got 4 for Barnsley last season. Paul's saying that Ash is a great shot stopper, but other aspects of his game, positioning and distribution, still need work. All Hell Let Loose says it's almost as if Tadic feels he's too good to be playing for a side in League One this season, so isn't trying. Well, he certainly hasn't proven that yet, really, with his performances. Chris saying if that it was our first team out there, barring Hector, pretty much, I'd argue he weakens us. And yeah, it comes back to the point I made earlier on. Charlie saying Serbian Stockley is very harsh on Jaden. It's more comparable to a donkey like Simon McKeenock. Sam saying are Dobbo and Alfie suspended? So basically it's really confusing, but no, yellow cards in the FA Cup don't count towards your league total, but if they got sent off like a red card yesterday, it would have counted towards other competitions. So yeah, it's a bit all over the place, that rule, but they're not out for next week, happily. Nathan, when we look at that performance yesterday, I just made the point about maybe not looking up for it a little bit in the face of playing Gillingham, of all people. Why do you think that was the case yesterday?
$1 million question, mate. I don't know. Is it too simple to say that they don't like the cold? Maybe. I don't know. There's so many factors that can play a part in terms of mentality. It could be the cold. It could be that they turned up in a confident frame of mind and they were taken aback a bit in terms of, you know, how aggressive Gillingham were, and they just couldn't get in the game. But there was plenty of times where we had the ball and seemed an easy pass was on, but just kept giving it away in silly situations, like unforced errors. So I just think, I don't really know, because it's like, I still think a lot of it could be down to the how young we are as a group. For me, that when you have games like that, what you need is a sense of leadership and someone who can try and take the game by the scruff of the neck a little bit, sort it out, organise everything, bark some orders around, just stay strong. After that first one went in, keep it tight, stay in the game for 10, 15 minutes and then go again and build on it. But we just seem to lose our composure that we didn't really have anyway. We just lost all sense of the game. And then before we know it, the game's gone. So I'm going to put it down to maybe, because you have got some leaders in there, but are they real, real leaders like the Dobbos and Joneses and whatnot? But apart from that, you haven't really got anyone who will literally bark orders. I feel we're quite lightweight and quite a soft touch. And that's horrible to say. But I think we just lack aggression all over the pitch. And the only person that is Dobbo, really. So once people come through our midfield, it's literally Dobbo versus the world, it seems. That's what it seems like every week. But yeah, the mentality issue will be a question for Michael and obviously the board to address in January, you'd hope, because it was way too easy for Gillingham and other sides that we played this season.
Yeah, Chris is saying I could have been in goal for Jules yesterday and kept a clean sheet. So he's either bragging that he's an excellent goalkeeper or more realistically pointing out that we had one shot on target after 10 minutes. And then, so there was about, we ended up playing about 10 minutes of injury time in the first half plus 10 minutes in the second half. So that's what, 35 plus 20 plus 45 minutes where we didn't hit a shot on target and didn't even come close to it, really. I mean, Alfie had one more shot on the edge of the box on his left, which he didn't connect with properly at all, which was really poor. Chris is asking why Henry Ryler's not been given a chance recently. He seems to be an actual winger who scores and assists. I mean, we saw him briefly, I think, was it last season in trophy games? But I don't know if I'm imagining this, but when Michael Appleton came in, the club and Michael himself sold it as, you know, I bring a lot of young players through. Then also, almost immediately, he's spoken about how the squad's too young. And I feel like, you know, he's much more likely to pick Fraser over Louis Watson. And he spoke about experience for that. I feel like he's more eager to put experience ahead of inexperience. And that's why. I don't know if I'm imagining that, if anyone else has got a view on that. But how often have we seen that recently where, you know, I mean, even with someone like Heck, who we've all said at times probably could do with being dropped, but you're seeing that the youngster behind him, Ness, is not playing well at the moment. You can see why. But yeah, he certainly favours experience over youngsters. Brazilians is saying that Nath is spot on in terms of the characters at the club. He says it's a huge issue and it's not a horrible thing to say. It's just what it is. Aaron's saying physicality and mentality of our team is poor. Too many go hiding when other teams are aggressive. Dobbo isn't a leader. All Hell Let Loose saying is, when has the Charlton team ever played well at Priestfield? I remember watching our worst ever midfield there play under Russell Slade. Yeah, I was surprised. So we've only won one in our last eight trips to Priestfield. And I think that goes back as far as the FA Cup defeat there in 2004. And then Brazilius is adding that Dobbo leads by his actions on the pitch, but he doesn't do enough as a vocal leader. Our manager isn't vocal, our goalie isn't, centre-backs aren't, midfielders aren't. I'd love to see our half-time team talks. This is something we spoke about towards the end of last season, really, wasn't it, when Dobbo took the captain's armband. And I asked him on the final day of last season about if he'd ever have to give a rocket to other players when mistakes or when there's been lack of effort. And he spoke more about being more of a modern captain, I guess, in terms of putting an arm around the shoulder and that sort of stuff. But is that what we need right now? Who's to say? It's a tough one. I think we should hear from Michael Appleton. I want to discuss a little bit about what he says as well. We've got loads more messages that are coming on Twitter and an email. And we've got Ken waiting in the wings as well, our guest fan. So let's hear what Michael had to say after yesterday's cup showing at Gillingham. In the FA Cup here at Gillingham, what did you make of the performance today?
Well, the performance was poor, but reality is it, you know, the result's the most important thing. And, you know, we didn't do enough to win the game. You know, it was a poor start from us. And I didn't particularly get that much better. We had a couple of opportunities early doors. Obviously, Alfie had the one from the corner, but after that, it became really difficult.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of unforced errors your side seemed to make in possession today. Yeah. Was quite noticeable as well.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, at the end of the day, players get judged on decision-making and, you know, whether they make good decisions or bad decisions. And, you know, unfortunately, we had far too many poor decisions today with the ball. And not always under pressure, sometimes unopposed as well, which was the really frustrating thing. So, we'll look at that and... try and make sure we put that right on Wednesday.
Where do you think that came from today? Because obviously Gillingham looked to try and set about Charlton a little bit, but it's not exactly going away to Millwall or something like that. Coming to Gillingham, it was quite a tame atmosphere, and Charlton they seemed to freeze a little bit today.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I'll take responsibility for that because I made three or four changes. So obviously the players and the changes that are made didn't work. And all I would say is that there's not that many options, so we've got to be careful. Players that we've got today pretty much are what we've got to use, and got to find the balance between making them know that that's not acceptable, but at the same time making sure that from a confidence point of view, because of one game and one performance and one result, we don't sort of go off the rails. I think there was a lot of people trying to do that with the back-to-back defeats, and I think when we got asked the question, I think the players and the group sort of stood up to it and come back with the right answers. And, you know, all you can do is hope they do the same.
And you'll need that again. Today you made, I think, four or five changes, and see some of the players who don't always get a starting berth in the first team a chance. I mean, did anyone really perform the way you were hoping to come and knock on your door and say, I want to be playing in the league now?
I think you know the answer to that question, don't you? Yeah. I think they've certainly made my job very, very easy over the next couple of weeks.
You just can't wait for the January transfer window now, is that the case?
I think all managers and coaches are the same. You want to try and fresh your group up as best you possibly can, and when you get the opportunity to, and we're no different. And obviously with the likes of the news and Miles today, and, you know, Connor has got a bit of an issue with his calf, which isn't helpful. So, yeah, I think it's one of them where, you know, we want to get to that point, but ultimately there's a lot of games to be played between now and then, and we've got a lot of work to do in between.
Yeah, that was the worst start to the day, getting the Miles news as well. What can you tell us about his injury and his frame of mind at the moment?
Well, it is exactly what you've probably been reported. You know, he's going to be out probably for a sustainable period of the season, possibly for the rest of the season, and he's clearly gutted, you know. Yeah, I think he's one of them where he had the issue with his ankle pre-season, but, you know, sort of severity of the injury, it was one that we were hoping wouldn't be the case, but it is. And listen, all I can say is that he'll be looked after properly. He'll, you know, he's had his operation, and he'll get the right treatment going forward, and, you know, we'll support him along the way.
So you brought Dan back from Southend today as well, but does that still sort of make, with the injuries to Miles and Chucks, make Stryker a bit of a priority in January now?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, obviously it's one of them where ultimately you get judged at what you do at both ends of the pitch, so you've got to make sure that, you know, you have players who can defend the box and do that well. But a lot of the time, obviously, you know, goals win your games, and even if you concede one or two, if you get the right people at the top end of the pitch, you give yourself a massive opportunity. So, I think you don't have to be a sort of rocket scientist to realise, obviously, that's an area that we need to fill.
Yeah, and you just mentioned Connor, obviously, when we spoke to him after the goal at Portsmouth, he was saying he was hoping he could stay injury-free, but you say he's had a problem now.
Yeah, he just pulled out of training yesterday, albeit, you know, Lou's always going to get his opportunity today anyway, but it's just a shame because obviously he was in such a good place, and I think his performance levels have been very, very good. It feels like we've been hit with a sort of double whammy today when it comes to the injury situation, and obviously then, you know, the game going the way it did today as well doesn't make it easier.
So as you say, obviously there's another game on Wednesday. How do you sort of manage the message to the squad after today, considering the performance but also the fact you have to go again quite quickly?
Well, I think first and foremost, let's concentrate on the performance, because we've got to be braver. Got to be braver on the ball. There isn't 3 points at stake. You know, that is your bread and butter. That's important. But if we put a performance in that we know we're capable of or close to it, then we'll give ourselves a great chance of winning the game, you know. And what it will do then as well is, regardless of the result, if you put a half-decent performance in, you go into the game on Saturday in this sort of frame of mind that we need to pick up 3 points.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton, speaking to myself after yesterday's game. Paul said, God, it sounds depressing. Sounds like things are getting to Apples. All hell let loose, says he sounded very defensive. Jay saying on a positive note, he was sold a new kitchen after the interviews. when an all-round bad day. Let's talk about his reaction then, so Nathan. So I picked up a couple of bits from it, you know, partly because he's spoken about A, the fact that he's got to, in a way, address the performance, but also protect the players, because in his view, I mean, he's got to go with these players for the next few weeks, so he can't be throwing them all under the bus just yet. But also, he's like, look, we reacted to the two defeats against Lincoln and Bolton back in October and came back, you know, well, that was our first defeat since then. But, you know, a couple of times I spoke to people who thought I overreacted to the first game against Cray, where we drew 1-1 at the Valley. But for me, it just highlights that we have that in us. And that's why we're mid-table League One, is because we can be great on our day. We can go and do a first half at Wigan. We can go and do a second half against Exeter or against Reading at the Valley. But we also have performances like that in us. And I expect to see more rather than fewer whilst the squad gets further and further depleted by these injuries. So I don't think it's overreacting. I think it's the problem is we're seeing what we are capable of on a bad day. And the fact that that's the reason why we are where we are. It's a reminder that we're mid-table in League One. Like, that's never going to be good enough. And every time we play badly to that extent, we get reminded of who we are and where we are now.
Yeah, exactly. I think to get promoted from this league, you've got to obviously have a good squad of players mentally and technically. And also, when the game's not going your way, you still find a way to win. And they're the moments that I think we're falling short. I know there's been a couple of games maybe where we've got a result out of it and we didn't play that well. But good teams, on a performance like yesterday, you know that you're under the cosh. You manage the game, stay in the game, and then you try and build a bit of momentum. But we just didn't. And sadly, even though we're playing a League Two team, as soon as they scored the second goal, you're going, right, so we've got to score 3 goals now. And you're looking at it and going, oh, I don't know. Just because of the players that we had and the way they were playing on that day. But on paper, it shouldn't be a problem. But the way the game was going, it wasn't going that way. But yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a... So, you know, his response, he's got to look after him and stuff, which I agree with to an extent. I don't think it was... I know sometimes I do want, you know, a manager to come out and do a Lee Bowyer special and come out and slate players. But as long as he does it in the changing room, that's the main thing for me. Because, yeah, if he comes out and slates every single one of them, he isn't going to get a response on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it is. So I agree with it in some bits. But he's, you know, he seems quite mild-mannered. He seems quite a... not shy, but quite a quiet manager. He doesn't seem like a Steve Evans anyway, so I don't think we're ever going to get that. But I think he probably would have made his feelings clear in the dressing room, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I gave him ample opportunity to say that to us. Obviously, you know, there was one question where he says, you already know the answer to that question. And so that's clearly how he decides to manage things in the public. I think Dean was a bit like that. Ben Garner wasn't like that. You'd be surprised by how much you could get out of Ben, actually. Obviously, Bo didn't even have to, just had to say hello and he was off there slagging off players. But a couple of tweets. We've got to get to our guests soon as well because we've kept Ken waiting way too long. But Alan says it was a disgrace and the stats show it's not an overreaction from kickoff. They didn't want to be their attitude. It was cold. Don't fancy it. Sooner we play 90 minutes, the sooner we can go home. If you don't want to fight and put the minimum in, then we don't want you at our club. That's from Alan on Twitter. Phil said it was such a disappointment. I felt sorry for the fans that travelled. It's early to say for definite, but this season already feels like so many. A few injuries and in come the kids to fill the spaces. Until we bring in some senior players who have played at a higher level with experience, the same thing will happen over again. Andy Scott and Mevan on his pod talk well. However, the two small windows, January and August, they brought in a complete load of dross with the exception of Louis Watson. I can't see this changing. It's not surprising that the crowds are falling. We're completely worn down with all the same failings. Yeah, and I did say when we get a free midweek, so one where we haven't had a game, we are going to sit down and actually assess the transfer business that's happened. We will do that when we get the chance. Maybe this midweek, we'll see. Rufus saying we can't throw him under the bus. He actually doesn't know if any money will be spent in January with all the season done already. Are they going to waste money? Well, we'll see, won't we? I wonder if Miles, now being injured and therefore probably not leaving, will that make a difference? Don't know, but maybe it can do. Alex said our record under Appleton has been good enough for playoffs, but we need a championship winning form to actually make it this year thanks to our dreadful start. Yeah, I mean, our record under Michael would have I can tell you exactly because it's on my graph, would have I think currently leave us ever so slightly outside of the playoffs. So if we'd had Appleton all season, I know we'd be on 76 points. So you're quite right. We after the win on Tuesday, that does take us into the playoffs if we'd had him all season. But you know, the only thing I'd say about that is obviously it's a smaller window that you're looking at with the points per game currently. It's only 15, 16 games out of a 46 game season. So it is harder to keep that points record up over the course of the season with now obviously the problems we're seeing. Chris says Charlton were known for years as a club who fought for every ball, for every minute of every game. Those days are long gone. Right, let's bring in our guest fan, I think. We've still got a couple of emails to come to. We've still got a few more points in the chat and obviously to look ahead to Reading very briefly. But now's a good time to bring in our guest fan, Ken Burnett, who made the trip to Gillingham yesterday. He's a mainstay in the press room at the home games. Ken, he films the games for the club. Ken, good to see you. How are you this morning?
I've defrosted, I'm pleased to say.
Yeah.
that was wicked, wasn't it?
It was absolutely... Yeah, I don't think we've even referenced how cold it was yesterday. It got to the extent that Nathan had to go dressed up out of someone out of E17 just to try and stay warm. But, Ken, tell us your views on yesterday's performance.
Do you know, I got there, I was all in high hopes. I found a parking space right outside the club shop. The guy said, yeah, you can leave it here. I had a good old chat with Johnny Williams beforehand, who was absolute brilliant, telling us how much he enjoyed Charlton, etc., and you know, wished us well. And then I had the lovely job, I had to go right round to the Gordon Road stand, so I had to go right the way around the whole stadium to get to this gate, only for the guy on the gate to say, no mate, not this gate, you've got to go round to that gate, so you've got to go round again. And I sort of said to him, well, look, you know, we've been told to come here. So we went and got some keys to let us through, and then we had to go and queue with all the people who hadn't got their tickets. And then they told us we had to go through these turnstiles, which is fair enough if you're able-bodied and whatever, but if you're in a wheelchair, the wheelchair was actually wider than the turnstiles. So then they had to go and find someone to open another gate to let us in, and go and scan your tickets. And then we went round behind all the scaffolding, you know, the lovely... the area for the landfill site sort of thing, and down the slope. And then you actually find the disabled area isn't actually a disabled area. It's a seating area. So you just put your wheelchair in front of the person who's behind you so they can't see anyway. And they were lucky because I had to see. And, you know, we stood there freezing. You got coppers coming by in front of you so you couldn't see too much sort of thing, and stewards standing in the way. And, then unfortunately the game started and we had to watch it. It's life.
Yeah, I was going to ask you then. So obviously we are here to talk about the game, but also from your personal experience as a fan who attends games in wheelchairs, how has that been? on the road? What sort of difficulties have you found that able-bodied people wouldn't have found yesterday, other than the fact that obviously you had to watch the game?
Well, you know me a long time. I've always used sticks all my life until the last year when I tore the ligaments, and then they now told me that the knee's not going to get any better, so it's wheels instead of legs. So all of a sudden, I'm seeing things from a different angle. You know, whereas I was able to do things, now it's totally different. You know, you're in a queue and all you see is people's backsides, so you hope they haven't had a curry or something like that where you're waiting to get in. And then there's a step or there's a curb and you can't go and get a drink or a hot drink and stuff like that. It's a totally different aspect. I mean, at Charlton, we're pretty lucky. We do have good disabled facilities. Still a lot of work to be done on that side of life. But, you know, it is all, you've got to really plan a day out. You can't just jump on the tube or, you know, go and drive and park and have a walk sort of thing. It is different, but yeah, I'm getting there.
Hi, Ken.
Hi.
Just a bit more on the football now. We've been scratching our heads a little bit to try and, I know we've had a couple of performances that have been abject, but what do you reckon, in your opinion, was the reason for that? Do you think it was a mentality issue? Do you think they just didn't like the cold? What do you reckon it was that we played so poorly?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've followed the club. This is my 50th year. When I get to January the 12th, I would have completed 50 years of watching them. They were always a good third division, second division club. And then, of course, we had the purple spell. But I think yesterday, I mean, they went out there. They looked lifeless. They didn't want a challenge. It was almost like, you know, if you're going to kick me, I'm going down on a cold, hard ground and it's going to hurt sort of thing. The challenges weren't there. The skills, the crossing from Tyrese and Corey down in front of us, absolutely abysmal. And they were sliding all over the place. I don't know. It's so hard to say what it was. It was just, normally we have one or two players where you think, well, they haven't really done it. But yesterday we had 11 players that weren't doing it. And of course, Gillingham, fair play to them. They got what they deserved out of it.
And Ken, I suppose just zooming out a little bit, what is your realistic hope for this season? And when it comes to January, how many players would you have on your wish list?
Oh, I think we need a central defender. I think we need a left back. And obviously, we certainly need a striker. You know, you guys said earlier, we didn't have to worry about strikers because you had Chucks and you had Miles. But of course, they're out now. So they need replacing. Alfie will score your goals if you give him the ball, but playing him out on the right hand side, he's not going to score goals, is he? And also, he needs someone to be able to give him the ball. We need another Dobbo in the midfield, someone with a bit of steel who's going to make the challenges. But there's four or five places which really need strengthening up with experience. It's not being unkind to the youngsters, but experienced players who have done it and know about when it's time to bring a player down because he's going through the middle sort of thing. I mean, Macaulay Bond yesterday, he had his best game probably for about 10 years. You know, I didn't rate him at all at Charlton. To be honest, I didn't rate him yesterday. I was, some of the abuse he got from where I was a bit OTT, to be honest with you. And his response was pretty disgusting. And if it's caught on camera, I think he could well be done for it. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want a Macaulay Bond up front to annoy their defenders and make the crowd get at him because that's what gets you going. There was nothing there to make the crowd. I mean, it was 1,600 fans and they had nothing to cheer, nothing to get into and nothing to make them think, well, yeah, I'm going to come back here next week and, you know, watch again.
I love the way that Ken said the abuse that Macaulay Bond was getting from where I was. Is that a different way of saying from me? But just finally then, I mean, Joe sort of asked as well, but what's realistic this season with our current squad? Do you think we are still in a playoff race? Obviously, the FA Cup dream's over now.
Well, we are in with a chance. Of course we are. You know, if we play like we can play. You cracked on it earlier, the games against Reading and Exeter. We had some parts of the game when we come out afterwards and think, Christ, where did that come from? And we're still asking that because it's all of a sudden put back in the egg box and shoved in the cupboard, isn't it? You know, and it's not come out the following week or only come out for 20 minutes of the following week. And by that time, you're 2-0 down sort of thing. I'd love us to make the playoffs. And if we did and we had a full squad, then the club's big enough to get up the championship. Whether they can stay there again is another question, because the players we've got, maybe other than two or three, really aren't good enough. Mm. And I think that's why we are where we are in the league, because the youngsters haven't got the experience and we haven't got enough old hands to give them that experience.
Yeah, problems mounting up. Ken, cheers for your time, for coming on and shining a light a bit on the different experiences you have at games and also obviously your views on yesterday's performance. And I've got a team sheet for you, so I'll give that to you next week.
Good
on Saturday. Good man. Cheers for your time, yeah. Kent. Good to see
Pleasure.
You. There we go. That's Ken Burnett, who was this week's guest fan here on Charlton Live. And yeah, I mean, obviously his views on the football were good to hear. But Paul also pointing out in the chat, shameful that some organisations are still in the dark as to regards diversity and sort of access. Hopefully the Gallantsons are on the case. I mean, Gillingham is a bit of a tip, really, in terms of a stadium. So there is work to do there in making it better for everyone, to be fair. Yeah, Chris saying no abuse of Bon is over the top. And also, we have pointed out that two of our best second halves this season, Reading and Exeter, are against teams that everyone's beaten at the moment. I think Reading picked up a couple of wins recently. A couple. Hopefully that won't continue on Wednesday. Chris says the owners need to spend serious money, as simple as. We've got a couple of emails I want to get to as well. Mick Squared said it was a really poor performance. Going out of the FA Cup in the second round isn't of great concern on its own, but the circumstances and losing to Gillingham isn't a disgrace itself either, but losing to Gills in that manner is. However, especially when Bond manages to get on the score sheet after what happened to us in his last spell. Winning against Cheltenham was far more important, but against the Gills, we just didn't turn up. Let's hope it's only tiredness and our wafer-thin squad that's the issue, not a lack of desire, because as display as poor as that is totally unacceptable. With both Chooks and Miles out for the foreseeable, Tedic looked ineffective. Kanu is still far too inexperienced to make a significant impact. Far too many of the players seem disinterested on the day, though, and that's embarrassing. Most definitely a very early Christmas present for Gillingham. Matt said, I followed the game on Twitter and I'm baffled by what seems the majority of fans' feelings. I didn't want to beat Cray, let alone Gills. Why be in a competition for any longer if you can't win it? If it's a big day out is our objective, then we need to reevaluate. Whereas the majority knocked the league trophy. I'm sure you'll all be at Wembley if we get there. I want to experience moments like 98, 2012 and 19 again. Losing 3-0 at United is hardly a memory personally. In conclusion, we're rubbish. So let's be realistic about how we can experience great moments. So if we were to get... All right, so, I mean, there's a couple more emails, but just looking ahead to Wednesday briefly, Nath. If we were to get to Wembley in this competition, obviously we'd all go. If we went to Wembley and got beat 4-0 by Oxford United or something like that, I wouldn't care a jot, because this competition is a reminder that we're rubbish. The fact we're playing in it is a reminder that we're a bad team, and it's not anything to celebrate if we get to Wembley. If we get to Wembley, it would be a good day out. We'd all have a laugh. We'd all have a few pints. If we lost 4-0, I wouldn't care.
No, exactly, mate. I think, yeah, for me, it's just like the EFL trophies and the FA Cup and the League Cups. It's experiences, you know. Like, I mean, it was years before, you know, since the last time I went to Old Trafford before last February, this February, whenever it was. So it's an experience that, you know, you've got to remember those moments. And, you know, the Fulham away. Do you remember when we went to Fulham on the boat and I think we lost 3-0, but we were top of League One at the time. It's just experience like that. So, yeah, it's about going there with friends and having good memories and stuff. Yeah, I know we're not going to win the FA Cup. I know we're not going to win the EFL trophy and probably not the whatever this trophy is called now. So, yeah, I mean, you just go there for the memories, to be honest. But it'll be nice to go there. I mean, just imagine if you went and got a draw Tottenham away. Or, do you know, yeah, I'm not going to go to Tottenham away thinking, oh, we might nick this one. You're probably going to get absolutely pummeled. But to be fair, what an experience that is, and what an experience for the players. And you might even have some financial gain out of it as well. So, yeah, I mean, I disagree with that point, but I get where he's coming from, that we're not going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, Chris says you can't say that losing the full Members' Cup final back at Wembley against Blackburn back in the day was horrible. Losing at Wembley is always horrible, no matter whatever trophy you're playing. To be fair, I haven't actually experienced us losing at Wembley. I'm 2-2. You'll be pleased to hear. Dean saying, don't pin your hopes on a January transfer window. The players that will be available are those who don't fit in at their club or just loans. And obviously, like I say, our windows haven't been great over the last couple of years, or the last year or so now. So also, there's also that. Brazilians talk about Kirk not starting. We've done Kirk to death, really. Clive saying, dear Louis, let's stop torturing ourselves. We are definitely not going to get into the playoffs, so let's stop even giving the notion any airtime. We have beaten Wigan in 14th, Wickham in 15th, Leighton Orient 16th, Exeter 20th, Fleetwood 21st, Reading 23rd, and Cheltenham 24th. If we're in any doubt about our ambition, look at three of the four loan players brought in by the current regime, Abankwa, Chem Campbell, and Tedic. Need I say any more? That's from Clive. I mean, obviously, we always sort of benchmark ourselves about where we are in the race for the playoffs. You know, I've pointed out with seven, my graph, people often look at my graph and think that's me saying this is us getting into the playoffs, this is what's going to happen. My graph is always an indication of how far off the playoffs we are at any point, just in case anyone is getting carried away. But yeah, the fact we've only beaten teams below us, we said it recently with my stats about top half, bottom half, Joe. I mean, it does suggest that that's where we sort of are.
Yeah, it does. Means we're the Man United of League One because they've not beaten anyone in the top half of the Prem either. So they're also going to be mid-table fodder, aren't they? We always used to do well against the top teams and struggle against the bottom. We've reversed that. It'd be nice if one season we could put it together and beat everybody, but that's a long way off. I think that under Apples, we are a bit more of a physically reliant team in terms of we need to be sort of really up for it and on the ball. And he was talking about fantastic performance in the 2-1 win, wasn't it? And I thought it was a pretty poor performance myself. We passed completion first half 67%. So every third time you passed the ball, you gave it away. It's hardly inspiring football to watch, and it isn't going to win you many games over the course of the season. When we come up against teams that can move us about, that have a little bit of ability, we're struggling. This is a weak league this season. This is a really, really weak league. So if you're beating the bottom half and struggling against the top half in a normal League One season, you are going to be right down towards the bottom of the league rather than aiming at the playoffs. So if we don't do anything this season and we don't get anywhere near the playoffs, that is going to be even more of an underperformance than in most years. It shows that we've got a long, long way to go to get one, promotion, and two, be able to stick it in the Championship. We're certainly not anywhere near doing what Ipswich are doing, where the back-to-back promotions and absolute glory trail. Mm. We would need a miracle and every club in England apart from us to get a massive points deduction, I think, for anything like that to be happening.
Well, the right things have been going recently. I mean, a lot of clubs are getting them, so fingers crossed. Yeah, Spamfish. All right, so Charlie's pointed out, Spamfish did say earlier about Chem and Kirk not getting on the bench, but Apples has been saying he's got no other options. They are both 100% done. He seems like a manager with blinkered beliefs. If I don't like him, he ain't playing. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, we've spoken about Charlie. Chem's not getting anywhere near. You know, we asked Michael about Chem a couple of times, really, and he's sort of just, you know, he's just not in the squad. There's no other way of saying it. He's not part of it at the moment. You know, he played in the FA Cup game off the bench, didn't he, at Cray? But yeah, I if we can send him back, I assume we will. But you never know. You never know, really, if we will. Just very briefly then, Nath, Reading, despite what I said about, you know, not really caring about the competition, I care about the performances and the club getting on some sort of momentum. So we do need a reaction and a display of some description, and those players who will play in this game who aren't first-team regulars to show that they can step up to the plate.
Yeah, well, Reading pasted Carlisle 5-1 the other day, so they've done exactly what we should have done when we played them. So yeah, Reading are a bit, they've had a little bit of an upturn, but yeah, it's mainly the performance, really. It's another winnable game, another chance to get through another round of the last competition that we're in, or cup competition. So yeah, I think the performance is going to be key. It'll be interesting on how he selects it. Be interesting if he goes with the same 11 and go, right, have another go, or does he make more changes? Does that unsettle the side? So it'll be interesting, but yeah, I think you want to go in and try and win the game and then move on to Cambridge on Saturday. But it'll be interesting how he's going to play that Reading game for sure, because they've had a little bit of a nice little run.
Adam's saying new director of services already has a lot on his plate. Squad depth is reasonable, but far too many injuries in midfield and attacking options Brazilian, saying he doesn't think Chem Campbell would make a difference. He says he doesn't look any better than Corey or Tyrese Campbell. And we will end this show there because we've run out of time. So, yeah, thanks for everyone who's joined us live this morning via the YouTube chat. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're watching on the catch-up or live as well. Make sure you never miss another Charlton Live show. Subscribe in your podcast apps as well. Check out our merch store. We're getting closer to Christmas. Best order soon if you want your Charlton Live mug, charltonlive.etsy.com. Again, quite a few have been sold recently. Joe's got his one there on screen, which is looking lovely. Yeah, massive thanks to Ken Burnett, who was our guest fan early on today. Yeah, some really good points there. And big thank you to Nathan and to Joe, as always. I really enjoyed your company this morning.
Cheers, boys.
Yeah, thanks for the therapy.
Yeah, good to speak to the pair of you. So I'm Louis Mendez. We'll be back on Thursday. Well, we'll look back at the game against Reading briefly and ahead to Saturday's home game with Cambridge, which we're all looking forward to. But thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Thursday.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.